Hello everyone and welcome to JFG tonight. We will be reviewing the news, talking about the debate of yesterday. Have you guys seen the Crucible debate? I'm pretty happy with my performance. It was a very respectful debate and it was around a very worn out theme, which is the existence of God. But I said what I had to say. And I think I punched a couple of good punches here and there. Among other things, I think I performed well when I asked the guy, what's your definition of knowledge? And I think I surprised him because he hadn't thought it through. And it's very important when you start making these claims, God is necessary for knowledge. What are you talking about? Can't you imagine something that would gather knowledge without God? And it took him a minute to define knowledge, and even his definition wasn't super clear. So I think I caught him there. That was probably my strongest moment of the debate. Other than this, you know, I didn't want to destroy this guy, and I don't think I did. It's just that this guy comes with the assumption that God is necessary for certain things, some kind of transcendental argument. In his view, God, it's not exactly like all the transcendental arguments we've heard before, because in his view, there's a bubble of immaterial things, and this bubble must be connected to our world through God. That's a kind of out there claim. So I did what I could, which is just to... And that was my threshold going into this debate. If you claim that something is necessary, I don't think Lewis totally realized that when you claim that something is necessary, you're saying any other alternative theory has to be false. Like, necessity is a strong thing. It's very rare that you will hear me use the word necessary, because it's almost just in math that you have such a perfect system that necessity appears into it. If you're talking about even scientific evidence, even in the hard sciences, necessarily is very rarely what you will attain as a threshold of demonstration. So going into this debate, I didn't want to make a case that God is unlikely. Like, at the end, he was criticizing that I wasn't using evidence. Hey, bro, it's like, I don't need evidence. You came with a claim of necessity. And so all I need is a possibility of a world in which God doesn't exist to prove you wrong. So I'm not going to worsen my own threshold of demonstration. I'm not going to make the job harder for me if you come with such a wild claim that you cannot even imagine the world around us existing without God. So that was my approach to the debate. If you want to check out the debate, here's the link to it. I'm going to put it in the regular chat. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Stephen Robinson says, England allowing unvaxxed hospital workers to go back to work. Oh yeah, like I said, we are starting to discover that a lot of this mandate crap was a bluff. The governments were not truly willing to hold to these mandates. They were just bluffing, trying to get as much people vaccinated with intimidation. It's absolutely disgusting what has been done in this whole domain in the last 2 years. It is just using dirty tactics against the employees of the state, like nurses, people who attract the sympathies of basically everyone. It's like no one hates nurses. But the government went after these people, deceived them, and played an extortion game here. This is disgusting. And I've been covering the truck convoy. I hope that the trucker convoy in Canada will solve the situation. Now, I've listened to the whole press conference of the trucker convoy leader. Little fact that I didn't know, the leader of the trucker convoy is Jewish. I didn't know that. That was an interesting discovery of this press conference. He is Jewish. His right arm assistant is Canadian. That's what he says. He says, he's Canadian, I'm Jewish, and the lady with him is Native American. I believe that's what he said. Stephen Robinson says, a Jewish trucker. Well, there has been a tradition of trade in the Jewish community. So maybe it makes you, maybe you can become a good trucker if you can trade, like, here, I'm going to drop this delivery to you. You can negotiate the price. Maybe it's maybe maybe it makes good truckers. Chris Langan, this guy is so hilarious at times. People have been talking about him to me again and again. And because he's bragging to, he's claiming to be one of the most intelligent people in the world with whatever IQ, like 200 or whatever. And I've never been very satisfied with his CTMU theory, his theory of the universe. I think it says nothing. I think it provides zero insight. But I like this post. He likes to talk about globalism, and here he's suggesting in this post that Vladimir Putin would be among the great globalist Great Reset plan. He says, very interesting, I just watched a video containing an old clip featuring a sycophantic interview of Klaus Schwab by CFR, the Trilateral Commission, Bohemian Grove member David Gergen, at some globalist shindig they put together. I'm still not sure I heard it correctly. But first, what do the names Emmanuel Macron, Angela Merkel, Justin Trudeau, Jacinda Ardern, Sergey Brin, Larry Page, Mark Zuckerberg, Anderson Cooper, Leonardo DiCaprio, Ashton Kutcher, and Charlize Theron have in common? They are former Schwab protégés who were recruited decades ago as young global leaders, taught how to infiltrate the governments and subvert the constitutions and cultures of Western nations, and charged with cementing globalist domination and committing, okay, genocide against white Western majorities. This we already knew. Here's the surprise. According to the interview, the dark distinction is shared by Vladimir Putin. Schwab found and mentored not just little Justin Trudeau and Teutonic battle axe Angela Merkel, but Russian dictator Vladimir Putin himself. I don't find it surprising that Schwab intended to mold them all into the tyrannical caricatures that we see before us today, or that they kindly Uncle Klaus, or that their kindly Uncle Klaus deserves full credit for their anti-human mindset and everyday dastardly deed they've ever done. That much is common knowledge. What surprises me is that Schwab would take the risk of admitting it, especially in the case of Putin. It's not good for the kind of political theater in which these people habitually engage. I have no way to verify what this guy says. I would have to research the video. I might do that tonight later, but it's interesting. I mean, maybe we shouldn't, you know, idolize Putin, which I don't really do, but I tend to understand his side of things, and I tend to understand that something is wrong with the way Western nations are approaching Putin. But it's very interesting to think of a world in which Putin might have his interests totally aligned with the rest of the people who are destroying Western civilization. If so, then there really would be no hope anywhere. Okay, let's see the segment of the Trucker Convoy. So Trucker Convoy, this afternoon I haven't streamed the protest, although they are ongoing in Ottawa. I was just busy. There was a door, an entry door in my home that, because of the cold, you know, sometimes changes the shape of a house. There was some pressure being put on the door, and the door was not openable anymore. So I was like, I have to fix this relatively quick because I don't want to be stuck in a house if there's a fire or anything. one of the doors cannot open? What if the other door is obstructed by fire? We would have only windows to escape. So I thought, okay, this is a priority. So I couldn't stream this afternoon. I had to resolve this priority in the building. But one thing I saw in the streams of the protest was the blockade of Ottawa doesn't seem full. They've been saying that they would leave passageways for emergency vehicles and businesses, but we had Auto Walks, you know, the usual streamer who walks across Ottawa, and he was walking on the streets, and at times there was no trucks at all blocking the streets. So is it because there are trucks at other places that are blocking the entries, or is it that the blockade is a failure and is starting to be a failure because there are less truckers available to do the blockade? I don't know. But certainly I was kind of pushed back in my enthusiasm, because I'm wondering if these guys have the resources to continue an effective protest that develops true leverage in Ottawa. That being said, the press conference reassured me. This guy says, no, you know, we are ready to stay here up to 2023, 2024. We have $8.5 million. He says, it's not true that GoFundMe is blocking the funds. We have money, and on top of it, we have reserves of food. And don't forget that truckers are, you know, they're made for, you know, their entire truck is made for standing on the road for months, and they have essentially a fridge, they have beds in their truck, they have access to reserves of non-perishable food, and he says we're in for the long run. So that reassures me, but the question is, how many truckers are in like this guy for the long run? Can they sustain many months? This guy seems enthusiastic. He was already talking about the summer and how, you know, as the winter moves into the spring, we will have more sun and we'll be able to organize more activities and more speeches outside. Let's see the little segment I was talking about where a journalist asked them about swastika flags and, you know, Confederate flags, that kind of stuff. I think he gives a very good response. Oops, let me try to enable the sound here.
With a Confederate flag and someone else walking with a swastika on a flag. What do you have to say to that? Are those people part of your movement?
Okay, so yeah. First thing.
Yeah.
Chris is Canadian. She's Métis. I'm Jewish.
Okay.
Okay. And I was mortified last night when I saw there's an organization called CEJA, and CEJA is run by a guy who thinks he's going to be as a liberal senator. His name is Shimon Fogel. And he'll do anything and say anything that Trudeau does to get him into that position. So I go to CEJA. These are the leaders of my community. They're pathetic. They really are. They're what's fueling anti-Semitism in Canada. Because somebody pulls up some random, you know, we call it the hoax hate. You hear this hoax hate all the time. Oh, somebody painted a swastika on a trash can. It's backwards, right? So they're clearly not committed to the cause, right? Yeah, people troll, do stupid things, whatever. Right. Who cares? Mm-hmm. But what do they do? Anytime you see something like that, the leaders of that community, they're outraged. This is disgusting. And for the rest of us, it's fueling the hate towards the rest of us. Mm-hmm. So ignore it, really. Mm-hmm. These are political hacks that come, they hide behind the veil of activism for the community. And you know what they do for the community? Nothing but make it worse for all of us.
Very interesting, because he doesn't demean the people. He says, you know, there are trolls out there. He doesn't say anything much more negative than this. And at the same time, he's bringing attention to these associations that always claim racism, racism, racism. So he's putting it back on their back and say, look, by holding these false discourses, by making these guilt by association arguments, you're bringing hate toward us, and you claim to be an anti-hate association. So I think it makes sense. it was a surprising thing to me to learn that he was Jewish, because I didn't know that it was a common thing for Jewish organizers like this to get involved in a grassroots type, worker-based, labor type of organization. But okay, you know, it's all good. Hopefully he can continue on his path of contesting the mandates. So today the protest may have looked very successful if you looked at some of these camera angles, but the fact is that the protest was extremely concentrated today, and it was concentrated around speeches here, and I don't see the leverage that I expected. You know, personally, I would have expected truckers across all streets of Ottawa. I would have expected a total filling of the city. That's not what I've seen. What I've seen is that the downtown is very much occupied, that there are trucks at each corner in the very center of the downtown, and there are definitely plenty of pedestrians here listening to the speeches. Why does it do that? Every single video on Gab is a different volume level. Sorry, guys. So there were plenty of people here, and they were listening to speeches. We've seen Paul Alexander. We've seen various figures of, at times, the American and English anti-vax movement or anti-mandate movement. Yesterday, there was a lot of activities on the street. That's a video from yesterday night. So the streets of downtown are pretty filled and pretty disabled in terms of their functioning. People are asking whether there was an alien in the video. I didn't see any alien. Are you talking about this girl, this guy? They look like just regular Canadians to me. No, I do not see any alien. Sorry. By the way, tonight you cannot join me on Entropy. Entropy is slow. I don't know if it's working on your side, but it's not on my side. So let's forget about Entropy for tonight. If you have super chats to send or questions to send, send them through the regular chat on Odyssey, or click on support to send super chat. Your support for this show is very appreciated. What else do we have? Well, I had this these scenes, of course. Those are scenes from today. And what I see is regular cars just able to travel. I think it has to do with partly the fact that the organizers have committed to leave space for the circulation of emergencies and businesses. But, you know, anyone can pass in and say, I'm here for a business, I have business to do. And so, effectively, Ottawa is not properly blocked. And that scares me for the long run, because I'm thinking, what if Trudeau decides that he can handle an Ottawa protest for 6 months? Then these people will lack leverage. So I'm worried about the trucker movement. I'm worried that Trudeau could be stubborn enough to pursue a war of attrition here. Stephen J. James says, I thought there were 50,000 trucks. Well, the reality is we have to grant it also to the organizers. All trucks have not yet arrived. So it's not clear. They have lost contact with a lot of people who were driving toward Ottawa. There is a lot of traffic being detoured. And so I don't know. I don't know if we'll see more arrive into Ottawa across this week. I think this week will be a big test for this movement. to determine if they have the resources to maintain a leverage for negotiation. If they cannot block Ottawa more than they did today, then I would predict a small fizzling out, and eventually you'll have truly 20 truckers left in front of Parliament Hill, and it's going to be just like you have these running protests. By the way, this is a very common thing. You have like 20, 100 activists that are gathering, and they sometimes they can gather for a month every day at the same place. And the fact is that the political system is willing to handle this. It's prepared to be a leading war against this, and it's prepared not to succumb to the temptation of acquiescing to the demands. Nicholas Petris says, "This is more epic than I could have imagined. Major thanks and congratulations to the freedom fighters." I was imagining a little more epic, but you know, let's leave it time to develop. Perhaps there are more truckers on their way than the truckers who have made it yet. So maybe it's going to go that way. But having seen the fizzling out of so many protests, having seen the yellow vest leading to nothing after like 20 weeks, 30 weeks of protest, I'm afraid that this movement may not be as powerful as we would have wanted it to be. And if that's the case, then too bad. Dark Urza says, "Jeff, false flag incoming at Elgin and Albert Street. Apparently Nazi flags spotted with riot police there." I will do exactly like the leader of the movement who's Jewish. I will do exactly like him. I will tell you, ignore this. It's like, okay, thanks for the info. Spotify has been conceding and bending the knee. It's not still clear to what extent they will censor COVID so-called misinformation, but I would say that this blog post is nothing very encouraging. So they have announced, "To our very core, we believe that listening is everything. Pick almost any issue and you will find people and opinions on either side of it. Personally, there are plenty of individuals and views on Spotify that I disagree with strongly. We know we have a critical role to play in supporting creator expression while balancing it with the safety of our users. In that role, it is important to me that we don't take on the position of being content censor, while also making sure that there are rules in place and consequences for those who violate them." So this is all blah, blah, blah. Well, you don't want to be a content censor, but you're saying that you will be a content censor for the certain rules that you do decide to censor about. You've had, so a lot of people have been misrepresenting this as being, "Oh, Jeff, they will only put a label." We've heard that before. Only a label. And then what? And then the leftists are like, "Hey, bro, so you have a label indicating the dangerousness of this content, and yet you're showing me these commercials? Why don't you also demonetize the content that is labeled dangerous? Like, after all, if you're going to label it suggesting that it's dangerous, why would you monetize dangerousness? And then, well, why are you even leaving dangerousness onto your platform? If it's dangerous, why don't you get it out? Or why don't you de-amplify it?" Of course, the leftist demand never stop in this domain. So it often starts with just an announcement that there will be labels, and eventually it affects the algorithm. Eventually you have requests to reduce the number of views on certain on this content which is labeled. And I will also point out that today they have announced, much more importantly than the information label they want to add to anything COVID related, today they are releasing their platform rules. Now they're saying, "Look, this is nothing new. Where those are our long-standing platform rules, but they were never published, and so now they have published it. Spotify platform rules, and this doesn't encourage a positive view. Look at this. Look at how loose and broad these rules are for COVID. Content that promotes dangerous, false, or dangerous, deceptive medical information that may cause offline harm or poses a direct threat to public health includes, but may not be limited to, asserting that COVID or other diseases are a hoax, encouraging the consumption of bleach products or things that could lead to death, promoting or suggesting that vaccines approved by local authorities are designed to cause death, or encouraging people to purposely get infected with COVID in order to build immunity. The problem is this includes but may not be limited to. So essentially, anything that would go against public health could potentially fall under these rules. So it's like you published your guidelines, thank you, but your guidelines are so broad that it's a matter of just how much leftist pressure you're going to get in the future that eventually you'll censor just as much as YouTube. This is the problem of having non-specific guidelines. It's a problem of basically all mainstream platforms right now because they are chicken with no head. They don't really know what they're doing. They're like just running around trying to whack-a-mole on, oh, who's taking issue with this video? Oh, you guys are taking issue with this video? Okay, there's too much people taking issue with this video. We're going to make a rule about it. This is the state of moderation on public platforms right now. It's just problem solving when the algorithm gets enough reports, enough people pissed off making pressure. They end up silencing voices and they end up making up rules as it goes to justify these decisions. So I'm really not happy about this Spotify guideline. It is not clear and it's going to eventually be used to be just as bad as YouTube. Mama JF coming into the studio to transport some food. We've been enjoying our new pig. We've bought half a pig of meat, and so I'm always eating pork chops, I'm eating pork ribs, I'm eating pork shoulders. There's just an infinite amount of pork that is just available to me. I just put it in the pan, and this is my breakfast, dinner, and snack. Just chops of pork coming in infinitely. Spotify makes public platform rules that cover COVID-19 misinformation. Will it be enough? That's the coverage at CNN, of course. So it's already started. Spotify has displayed their platform rules. They are unclear. And so you already have the competitors, CNN, the mainstream media, they will already start chipping at it and saying, oh, well, you've not... Here, you had the right platform, but you didn't apply it correctly here and here until any sort of conversation that makes sense around COVID will be absolutely censored. Spotify has officially become the battleground for big tech censorship civil war. Far be it for me to be sensationalist, but it looks like Spotify has become the official venue where the big tech censorship civil war is about to take place, or perhaps where it has already started. Spotify has been in the news, blah, blah, blah. And so he describes the current situation. There's not much worth covering from this article, but that was just another take, as opposed to the CNN. You know, the CNN just enjoying, oh, censorship is coming. And so they won't be able to say different stuff than we do. And so everything will taste the same, just like back in the days of cable TV. there won't be any alternative discourse because it will all have been eliminated. CNN also publishes this, parents struggle after monthly child tax credit payments end. So there had been this monthly child tax credit. It was a little check that that people were receiving for having children. I've never been super enthusiastic about this program because it's really free money from the state, and so you end up favoring essentially people who are not ready to create the resources and the good work that can lead them to be successful. And so you end up having an anti-eugenic pressure, a dysgenic pressure, favoring the families of people who cannot survive on the free market. And so you create infinite needs by doing this because you lead so many children to be born from parents who were unable to find demand for their work on the free market. The optimistic pessimist says, can I donate with a message on Odyssey? Yes, the super chat system is enabled on Odyssey. You have to click support. Don't forget to be logged in on Odyssey. And I believe you will have to fill your bank details. I think there's no option for credit card on Odyssey. That's really too bad. And that's something I hope they improve. Because I don't know, you would have to tell me. So please check it out, log in right now and tell me. Is there an option for credit card or is it just bank account? I'm curious to know because that's an important thing from the public's perspective. Credit cards are very popular on the internet. And less people have the ability necessarily to find their bank account number. Go away says, I super chat on Odyssey with my debit card. Oh, very interesting. So, but do you have the option for a credit card or is it just through debit card? I still don't know because from my perspective, it's all bank account related, but I don't know how it looks from the user's perspective. Here's why US truckers staging convoy to DC will face soaring diesel price. U.S. truckers celebrate the recent OSHA-canceled vaccine mandate and their Canadian counterparts who have rolled into Canada's capital, Ottawa, this weekend, demanding an end to cross-border vaccine rules. Truckers are on the front lines fighting against medical tyranny as the next convoy could be soon headed to Washington, D.C. A Facebook group called Convoy to D.C. 2022 has more than 63,000 members and is preparing a convoy of truckers to ride from California to Washington, D.C. to tell the Biden administration and progressives they are done with overreaching health mandates. Well, I would like to see a working protest of that kind in the U.S. I hope it happens. But we also have to be careful. Much is wasted in these enterprises, and as is the case with Ottawa, there is a big question about the viability in terms of making it happen for months. If you're not ready to make it happen for months, if you're not ready to impose a leverage, impose the cost on your opponent, then it's less interesting to me and it becomes a waste of attention, a waste of hope, which I've lived in my political life again and again. It's like, I'm always disappointed by the outcome of political fights. That's very sad. Sin over X says, what did Spotify bend on? Well, they have now published a full set of rules around COVID misinformation. They're very broad, so we don't know how they will apply it. But it's like anything that could put in danger public health. So if I say something that's different than what the CDC says, do I put public health in danger? Well, by the definition of the censors, very often any sort of distinction between one's view and the CDC's dictates is putting public health in danger, because or else why would the CDC have this position? They represent public health. Sprocket says, as far as I know, vendors make zero distinction between credit, debit, and then he removed this chat. Well, I can't read it if you remove it. Lindsey Graham, okay, now he's putting back. Vendors make zero distinction between credit, debit, or prepaid. If they take MasterCard, they take MasterCard, no matter the type. Same for other payment system, Visa, etc. Anyone have different info? Okay, well, in Canada, there is a fundamental distinction between the credit card system and the debit card system. And so accepting one doesn't lead you to accept another. But it's true, now that I remember, it's true that in America, there is kind of a combo there. And it's you have places where they accept both. Crucible Clip says, debit versus credit only matters for the user. Never use debit. It really limits your legal options in the case of fraud, etc. I didn't know. Lindsey Graham on Trump potentially pardoning January 6 rioters. I think it's inappropriate. So Trump has announced in his speech yesterday that he said we're going to treat the January 6 protesters properly, fairly, and if that needs pardon, then we will use pardon. So it's not a direct commitment to pardon the January 6 protesters. It is more like, maybe there will be some pardon. But again and again, we've been disappointed with Trump pardons. You know, there wasn't a pardon of Julian Assange. There wasn't a pardon of Edward Snowden. And so, again, I'm stuck with my black pill here. It's sad, but I'm stuck with constant disappointment in any sort of political action. And Lindsey Graham, of course, has been one of those who were encouraging Trump not to pardon Julian Assange. And so now he's encouraging Trump not to pardon January 6 rioters. I hope that one day Trump or some other right-wing politician really takes his own wings and says, I'm going to fly and I'm not going to be shackled to the earth by people like Lindsey Graham. Stephen J. James says, since 25 LBC, thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, why don't they just not drive their trucks anywhere until they get what they want? Seems easier. Well, that is what's happening. We have seen certain streets be blocked. They are at certain intersections, teaming in teams of two truckers and blocking the intersection fully. We have seen big snow trucks, you know, that are so long that they can actually occupy the whole street. We have seen this, but I have also seen that two blocks away from this, there was free circulation of cars. And so I'm like, you know, just taking a couple of intersections to... Anyways, in most cities in Canada, big cities like this, like Montreal, it's essentially assumed that roads are not functional. Like, you don't go downtown Montreal expecting to have an efficient transit with your car. You just expect that you will be stuck at all intersections, that somehow you're going to make your way through and maybe you're going to find a parking spot. So the problem is, I think the Ottawa population may very well be ready to handle that kind of disruption. It's not going to make their life much worse. Now, we had some leftists losing it on social media, calling the truckers terrorists. They were saying... these terrorists are honking all night and they're keeping us awake. And people were celebrating on Gab and 4chan. They were like, honk, honk. That has become the kind of non-empathic reaction to leftist concern. It's like, Okay, I get what you onk onk. It has become a meme. You have the frog, Pepe the Frog is back on the internet and is presenting himself as a trucker honking. Whose street? Our street. Yeah, I mean it's such a leftist strategy when you think about it. So for once it will make the life of leftists worse, and that's fine. The optimistic pessimist has succeeded at sending a super chat, and he says, "Paid with credit card." Oh well, that's great, because I wasn't sure if Odyssey was offering you guys the option of using a credit card, and I was like, oh, well, we're gonna have to keep Entropy if they don't. But I'm glad to see that they do. So he says, would you consider reaching out to Eric Kaufman to be a guest on the show? He's a Canadian professor of politics with some interesting books on demographics. Well, I think I did review one of his books, Eric Kaufman book. I'm not opposed to approaching him, but let me tell you, there are a lot of people who wouldn't come to the show, especially, you know, we have to have a big crowd to attract the big speakers. If I had 20,000 viewers, that would be hard to get someone like this guy, because ultimately, although he wrote a book called White Shift, Populism, Immigration, and the Future of White Majorities, the fact is, I reviewed this book and it is quite cocked. It is not what you would think it is. In fact, as far as I remember, this is almost saying that it's all good, that white majorities will disappear. Let's read the description on Amazon so I can refresh my memory. But I remember being extremely worried at the content of this book and how it was, rather than a denunciation of what's happening, it was a celebration. This is the century of white shift. As Western societies are becoming increasingly mixed race, demographic change is transforming politics. Over half of American babies are non-white, and by the end of the century, minorities and those of mixed race are projected to form the majority in the UK and other countries. The early stages of this transformation have led to a populist disruption, tearing a path through the usual politics of left and right. Ethnic transformation will continue, but conservative whites are unlikely to exit quietly. Their feelings of alienation are already redrawing political lines and convulsing societies across the West. See, this is all described as some kind of a pathologic reaction. Instead of what it really is, which is, this is a reaction to a destruction of the social contract as it exists in historical American society, i.e., the changes that are happening to American society right now are resulting in the destruction of some of the things that are maintaining this country together as a working entity, such as private property. And that's a big problem. Yet he describes this as, they will feel alienated. It's not what's happened. It's not about alienation. It's not like an emotional reaction. Oh my God, I don't control my country anymore. It's that the replacement that is coming is resulting in the destruction of the fundamental pillars of American life, such as liberty, constitutional rights, and private property. That's a problem. That's a problem, even if there wasn't a pissed off white guy, Republican in some Central America state, complaining about it, you see? It's a problem because the people who are taking over our society are not even able to maintain it. And they are transforming it into something that will not even look like a shadow of what it used to be. One of the most so I'm continuing to read the Amazon description of his book. One of the most crucial challenges of our time is to enable conservatives as well as cosmopolitans to view white shift as a positive development. See? What is a positive development here? Not the fact that there will be resistance to this movement. The white shift is a positive development. But what is white shift? Well, white shift is the disappearance of white majorities. So I don't know why it is that people are presenting me this book as, JF, this is kind of based. No, it is not. What? It is not at all. This is a book celebrating the victory of leftism. Why are people thinking that this contains interesting thoughts? And I've seen, you know what, the red elephant, the Vincent James, I think he always has this book on his shelf and he always promotes it. And I couldn't understand when I reviewed this book, I was like, why would you celebrate that kind of book? It's an extremely disappointing book. Now, can I reach out to him? The thing is, knowing how he thinks, I don't imagine Andrew Kaufman coming here on the show. If you want to approach him, if you want to write to him, try. I can try, but I will tell you right away. I know the kind of people that would answer a request of me, and I know the kind of people who wouldn't. And I don't have much interest in investing my time in writing even an email, because I know the answer will be no. There will not even be an answer. So try on your side if you'd like. If you really desperately want me to do it, I can try, but I'm telling you, it's not happening. This is a man celebrating the extinction of white majorities. Why would he come here? Speech therapist, 364-person surge in baby and toddler referrals thanks to mask wearing. A speech therapist says that mask wearing during the pandemic has caused a 364% increase in patient referrals of babies and toddlers. Parents are describing their children's speech problem as COVID delayed, with face coverings the primary cause of their speaking skills being seriously impaired. This is partly why the public school option is really to be avoided if you can. I enjoy that me and Mama JF, we are living a withdrawn life in which, you know, our loved ones and each other, we don't suffer from that kind of negative effect on our life, because we live such a withdrawn life that essentially we don't need to go out there. And the mask wearing is very rare. It's only when we truly need something, could be once a week, once every 2 weeks sometime, where we really need to drive to civilization. Other than this, we live essentially a maskless life. And that's, we are bound to discover that there are so many normal things. It's so normal for human beings to trust their facial expression and learn from the movements of the mouth of their loved one and see in the eyes of others, that we are breaking some basic social brain wiring here. All right, Idaho man says he broke... I don't know why I'm bringing this news item. Idaho man says he broke 52 world records in 52 weeks. I don't even want to read it. I'm absolutely certain that those are bullshit records where the statement is so detailed. It's like, okay, I did this while doing this, while also wearing this. Okay, I'm the first person to do this while wearing this and while also doing that. Okay. But try to specialize. Try to beat one world record and beat it for good, such that no human in the future ever beats you. If you've beaten 52 world records, James says, this is hard-hitting news, Jeff. I'm dealing with what I have, you know. Sometimes I see these news items, and this is the kind of news item that pisses me off. It's like, this is not interesting. Is that excellence? Is that something we should strive for? Nonsensical, rule, record-breaking. I mean, we're barely breaking any records anymore in the Olympics, you know, in any significant way. There is a slowdown of our excellence, and that's a sad thing. Sprocket says, JF is hate reviewing news today. That's what I'm doing. U-turn on mandatory COVID vaccinations. This is something that I believe Stephen brought earlier on the regular chat. Saeed Javid set to scrap requirements after warnings that jabs policy could lead to shortage of 80,000 workers. Well, hopefully the same happens with the truckers. I hope that we will see shelves being empty in Canada. But that's another question, you know, is the fact that, what is the leverage of the trucker convoy? Is it the fact that they are blocking Ottawa? Or is it the fact that they are not working and therefore there's a lack of things coming to our shelves? Because if there's a minority of truckers in Ottawa, and the rest of the truckers are like, yes, sir, I will continue doing my job. Here's the delivery you've requested. Then the disruption of the supply chain doesn't really happen. So that's a big question. Are there means for pressuring the entire supply chain other than just the fact that these truckers who have driven to Ottawa will not be available to work for a moment? That's a big question, because the nurses were successful in that there were so many of them that didn't get the vax that it would mean a dramatic situation in an already pressured hospital system. I hope that the same level of pressure can happen to the trucking industry. But I don't know. Some truckers are employees, and I was hearing on the CB lines, a lot of them are saying, I wish I could be with you in Ottawa, but I have to work. Well, if everyone is defending their own little surviving and everyone is attached to their own little salary and not losing their job, I don't know. Maybe the system is stronger than the truckers. Hopefully it's not. Hopefully it's not. But maybe. Maybe. Trump calls for a boycott of... See, I have the impression that we're interacting with a different species here. When we talk about boomers, Trump calls for a boycott of AT&T DirecTV over the network's decision to drop One American News and Comcast Xfinity while you're at it. These are radical left lunatics who are destroying our nation. You're telling me, Trump, that you hadn't already boycotted AT&T's DirecTV service? See, that's the problem right here, is that we're even talking about this. There are people still subscribing to TV services? Sorry, Sprocket has mentioned that I was negative today. I don't know why I'm that negative, because reality is it was a great day and I'm very happy and I shoveled some snow and I've spent a great day and I did some construction. But this totally breaks me. People are subscribed to these TV services at $100, $150 a month instead of, you know, internet TV. I can't believe this. And now Trump is calling for the boycott. Well, One American News, to be honest, this is a very bizarre behavior of Trump, where he kind of dropped Fox News under the bus and put all his eggs in the basket of One American News, which was a really new TV network that essentially rose to fame by just going the Trump line, just making their audience believe as much as possible as that they were as much into any idea of Trump, including the contestation of the January 6th election, although they had chicken feet then, because they started being afraid when the rules came out on YouTube against election misinformation. They started backing off and they started saying, "Oh, guys, we're just covering these things because they're interesting subjects that are happening in public, but we don't necessarily believe that kind of stuff." And you had one of the hosts, even I believe, kind of going against the grain of the channel. But in any case, they've been making their popularity with just, "We're backing the Trump MAGA boomer January 6th line, and this is going to be our line that we hold to." But the thing is, this is extremely narrow. This is a very small space. I mean, to a certain extent, they're so narrow, they're not even going to talk, for example, about demographic stability, as far as I can tell. So they have this really center-right, conservative, politically correct, but at the same time, very Trumpian view of the world. It's such a narrow thing that I'm wondering, if Trump dies tomorrow, what is the Newsmax channel? What is the OAN channel? What are these outlets for if Trump dies tomorrow? That is the question I'm asking. The coverage on this thing is ridiculous. Yahoo News, one American news network, dropped by DirecTV, a major financial blow for the far-right network. What is the standard by which one American news network is far-right? Satellite pay television service DirecTV will drop OAN when the right-wing channel's current carriage deal expires, likely a critical hit to OAN's viewership and finances. Really? I'm surprised that there are any viewers on DirecTV. About 90% of the right-wing network's revenue came from a contract with AT&T's TV platforms, including DirecTV and UVerse, Reuters reported in October 2021, citing sworn 2020 testimony by an OAN consultant. Very interesting, 90% of their money coming in from the mainstream TV channel. That is absolutely fascinating. For people who were gathering a lot of super chats back then, you know, I was listening to these streams back in the whole Trump contestation of the election result days, and there were people constantly paying super chats. But even then, they would be at 90% funded through the normie viewership. Well, that is a business decision. Ultimately, they have put their eggs in a single basket, and they're going to have to change their approach, maybe become more internet-based. Although they were, to a certain extent, they're already internet-based, but they're going to have to integrate internet culture. They're going to be bigger than, they're going to have to go deeper than just being an outlet of Trump's viewpoints, because it's going to be under the control of major platforms like YouTube, who will not let this grow very much. And they're going to be slowly pushed down into a narrow space, and I don't think that it can survive very long. Sprocket says, "Are you doing a poll in this chat today instead with number pressing? You should do that every time because the sample will be hugely bigger, JF." Okay, but what would we do a poll about? Okay, let me ask you this. Do you believe that one American news network will be significantly disappeared, or at least lose major segments of its viewership, as well as become a very minor network, or even fully disappearing within the next 2 years? If you believe they will disappear or almost completely disappear, press 1. if you believe there is a great future ahead for One American News Network, press 2. Some unpleasant math. The Fed has two options: a recession or years of very high inflation. Yeah, I think it's pretty much the corner where the Fed has painted itself. Wow, we are seeing mixed results. There's almost as many ones as there are twos. Very interesting. I don't know what will happen with them. I find them way too superficial and way too narrow and way too Trumpian. Both One American News and Newsmax, there's something missing there. There's something missing in the intelligence level. To me, it's really not pleasant to look at these things. Some unpleasant math. So yeah, the Fed has painted itself into a corner, which is the system has been fed with fake money for too long. And so we're in a zombie economy. We're essentially in an economy in which the most talented business people, they just hope that money will fall from the government helicopter. That's just how you make money right now in America. And so the Fed either has the option of continuing the policy of unleashing huge amounts of money onto the population, or stopping the unleashing, but then we have a recession, and a recession will lead to lots of disruption in the economic sector and employment. So people are going to be pissed at them. So that's the current choice. Because I kept my Bitcoin, in a way I'm betting that they're not going to create a recession immediately. They're going to be moved by some political pressure that will lead them to eventually restart a cycle of zombification of the economy and money printing. Lauren Witzk points to the fact that a Trump rally was booing Greg Abbott from Texas.
And please welcome the governor of the great state of Texas.
I don't know exactly what they are reproaching to him. I don't remember. Was there a recent issue in which Abbott was hated, or is that just general hate? I don't know. I don't know about Abbott. Did he go to anti-COVID measures? Maybe he got too much lockdowns? I don't know. Firestarter says Abbott was pro-lockdown. Okay, that could be it. We've seen so much of these conservative states and provinces in Canada that have gone total lockdown, just as worse as the leftist state. And it's like, why do we even have these conservative governments if they're not going to be pro-business in these dark hours? Again, more black pitting. It's a black pitting show today. Senator Collins, this will be our last news item for tonight. Senator Collins slams Biden for politicizing entire nomination process with race, gender-based Supreme Court pledge. And, you know, that's something that Lindsey Graham was commenting on top of commenting on the January 6th in this interview. He comments on the idea that there will be a black Supreme Court nominee from the side of Joe Biden, and he's like, "Yeah, we should do this." So there are discussions about, is it really a relevant thing to fill the Supreme Court with diversity, saying we have to represent the general American population? Because the fact is, if you start doing this with intersectionalism, there's 7 Supreme Court justices. So is there 7 or 9? There's already a black man on the Supreme Court. So the proportion of the black population of America is already represented on the Supreme Court. Now you're going to say, oh, well, we need a black woman. Well, okay. And then, oh, well, we need a couple of Jews. Well, you're already stepping over the actual representation of America, which is that there are not more than 50% blacks and Jews in America. Jews are a small proportion of America, and blacks represent 17%. So with two blacks, with Sotomayor, who's an Hispanic, with so many Jews, you're already above 50% minority in the Supreme Court. So the problem with this whole let's represent how America looks on the Supreme Court is that it always overshoots, always goes overboard, and there's never someone to come back to say, you know what, there's not enough white people on the Supreme Court. You think you're going to hear this one? You wouldn't hear this one if there were 8 black justices. So that's a problem. That is it for tonight. Optimistic Pessimist has sent another super chat. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, I wasn't referring to any particular book. He has books on the effects of secularization and feminism on fertility. And Rethinking Ethnicity argues for a dominant ethnicity. You could discuss any disagreement. Well, if he's opened, I'm open. So I will keep this guy in my bookmarks. I can try sending him an email, but don't be too disappointed if this doesn't happen. These guys often do not really want to discuss their viewpoints. They're not an intellectual like me. They are intellectuals that like to circulate on the mainstream media to get attention, but they don't get into the weeds of the real intellectual fight. They don't like hostile, differential or contrarian viewpoints because they have nothing to gain from it. But maybe my judgment is wrong and maybe I'll be surprised and he's going to respond to my email. That is it for tonight, Buzz. Much love. If you want to support the show, join the Patreon or the Subscribestar. I'll be back tomorrow. What do we have on schedule? Let's see. We have Bill Gates coming on Friday. The man of the ropes. Friday is the day of the rope. We will be talking about ropes and how they underlie everything, basically. Sunfield Glade, thank you for your super chat. Thanks for your support. Bye-bye. Thank you.